Good evening. Let me ask you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we'll read two verses, verses 10 and 17. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regards to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Well, this evening I would like to talk briefly on the subject of termed as celebrating a Christ-centered Christmas. Celebrating a Christ-centered Christmas. Obviously, you can guess my motivation for that. It's very, very simple. Exactly 1 week from today, next week, we'll be celebrating Christmas. And the question, therefore, that I would like us to think about is, how does a believer celebrate Christmas? How does a believer celebrate Christmas? Now, you know, Christmas, whatever your position regarding this festival is, it is one festival that you cannot completely ignore. It is termed as the most popular holiday. It is celebrated across the entire world, and even sometimes including countries where Christianity has not taken root, there is celebration concerning Christmas. And then with the passing of time, the Christmas season, what is called as the Christmas season, seems to be starting earlier and earlier and getting longer and longer. You know, the times I grew, Christmas, to pick the sense of Christmas in the air, you only perhaps did it, you know, on the Christmas Eve itself, the day before Christmas. That's when you started sensing that, you know, Christmas is here. But you find that nowadays, with the malls, November comes, and everyone is talking about Christmas. All the decorations seems to be pointing to Christmas. So from November up to 25th December, you are thinking Christmas. And indeed, we find that the adverts, the television anchors, the magazines, they are all talking about Christmas. And Christmas is becoming busier and more hectic. Actually, these holidays, you find that by the time people are through with Christmas, they are really, really tired, because it's a very busy, very hectic season. Everyone is organizing something. People are running to and fro to do something concerning Christmas. And we are also being encouraged all the time to get more and more. This is the season when the latest gadgets are released on the market, when the fashions, so to speak, are exposed, and all sorts of things. And the traders, the commercial people, are encouraging us to get more and more. Indeed, this is the season when the world forms its materialism. So it's easy for us to be overwhelmed by Christmas, and it is possible to react perhaps in two ways: to ignore all this, to have nothing to do with Christmas, and to carry on with life as usual. It's also possible to join the party and observe the season as the world does. Well, what I'd like to do today is to encourage us to think about a middle way, a third way, which I'm proposing this evening, which is celebrating Christmas by taking deliberate steps to make Christmas actually Christ-centered, to make Christmas reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, to think about Him, to embrace Him, to enjoy Him, to indeed be saturated by the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the season comes to an end, we are better in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought I should share with you these thoughts, because I've been thinking about it. I look at myself and my attitude towards Christmas. I don't think that it is one which can be said to be Christ-centered, Christ-focused. But first, perhaps the question we should answer is, should we celebrate Christmas? Should we, in the first place, celebrate Christmas? I mean, it looks like an obvious question, but you know, this is something that has been discussed over the years. It is one festival which in the church has actually been controversial, so to speak, and very well-meaning believers have taken the position that, you know, they will have nothing to do with Christmas. Actually, the Puritans outlawed the celebration of Christmas. They considered it, and they called, a popish festival with no biblical justification, and a time of wasteful and immoral behavior. A popish festival with no biblical justification, and a time of wasteful and immoral behavior. I'm sure many of us can have a lot of sympathy with that statement. Because, you know, what our brothers and sisters there were reacting to is the very fact that there are so many things associated with Christmas which do not have a biblical origin, which have their root in pagan religions and pagan celebrations. The very day, 25th December itself, has this association, paganism. So it's a controversial term. The decorations that come with Christmas, things like Christmas tree, were things that were used in pagan worship. Of course, the materialism, the sinful traits of the celebration, the parties and the orgies that go on with Christmas will tend to make us feel uncomfortable about Christmas itself. And the name Christmas, and the name Christmas itself is a reference to the term Christmas. And it came about because, of course, the Catholic Church also was reacting to what they were saying, the pagan associations. They wanted to make it more associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they introduced a mass, which they do even today. And now you can imagine the Puritans with that kind of association, that kind of just annoyed everyone. So should we celebrate Christmas? Well, dear friends, that's the reason why I read the passage that we have read together, Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And without elaborating on that passage, three things come out. Firstly, it is the fact that you are not any more spiritual because you celebrate Christmas, or you do not celebrate Christmas. It does not make you a more spiritual person per se, simply because you have taken a particular time, whether to celebrate or not to celebrate. Secondly, the passage tells us that we are not to judge one another on matters of drink, food, Sabbath, new moons, or festivals, including Christmas. So this is not something that we ought to pass judgment on one another. But the third thing the passage tells us is that in all these things, whatever you do, whether you take a position to celebrate Christmas or not to celebrate Christmas, what matters is that you are to see the substance which, according to my vision, which belongs to Christ. In other words, you are to see Christ, who is the substance of whatever we do, whether it's food, whether it's drink, whether it's a Sabbath observation, whether it is a festival. The substance ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge that we have. Whether we accept that we observe and celebrate Christmas, or that we are not going to do that, it all ought to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I take the position that Christmas is not a biblical injunction. It's not prescribed for us to do in the Word of God, but that Christmas offers a number of opportunities which would help us as believers if we handled this properly. And you know, I'm thinking about going back to the first Christmas day, the night, Christmas night, when the host of angels appeared in the sky, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. You know, as a kind of celebration, as a glimpse that we get of the substance that must go with our celebration of Christmas. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Of course, the coming of the wise men from the east, and the gifts that they presented to the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherds themselves, you know, leaving their tasks, going back to Bethlehem, and you know, finding this baby who has been born and offering worship to Him as another pointer to the substance that must accompany Christmas. Well, the problem of Christmas celebration is that much of it is bereft of Christ, empty of Christ. There is no much thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no much regard to Him. We are busy during Christmas season. Maybe some of us already have begun shopping for next week's Thursday. We are making lists. We are doing all sorts of things. Very little of thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Very little about thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Decorations are going up, but nothing of the substance of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, dear friends, according to the passage, Colossians chapter 2, verses 16, 17, you have taken a stand to celebrate Christmas, and yet without the substance, who is Christ Himself. Well, the question, therefore, that we should ask if we are to celebrate Christmas, what are we to do in order to make it Christ-centered? What are we to do in order to make it Christ-centered? First of all, I think, number one, is that we must remind ourselves. Remind yourself what the festival is all about. Remind yourself what the festival is all about. You know, when Christianity assumed a kind of official status in Rome, fact that one time it was declared as the only religion, that must be observed. And yet there were all these festivals that had been going on. And here comes Christmas. At that point, two festivals actually began to coexist. A festival which was pagan, which was worldly, which was not Christian, and a festival among believers where they really genuinely wanted to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that tension, dear friends, has continued. It has not begun today. We talk of how Christmas is becoming commercialized, how Christmas is becoming worldly, how Christmas is, you know, just moving away from the Lord Jesus Christ. That is actually not the case. There has always been tension within this festival. There is a part which is pagan. There is a part which can be genuinely Christian. So remind yourself what the festival you are going to observe is all about. Is this that part which is pagan, which is worldly, which is unchristian, or is it that part which indeed commemorates the Lord Jesus Christ, which remembers His birth, which remembers His coming into this world? And if you remind yourself that, you find that Christmas offers you the opportunity to reflect on a number of great truths in the scriptures. It will give you the opportunity to think about the reliability and the completeness of the scriptures themselves. That, you know, God, through the scriptures, promised the coming of the Messiah. And God, on that first Christmas day, fulfilled his promise. Indeed, the word of God must be trusted, must be embraced, must be followed to its very end, because it's genuine, it is trustworthy. Then you can also think about God's love to sinners. He loved the world. We are told, John 3 verse 16, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Christmas offers you the opportunity to think about the incarnation, that God became man to serve sinners. That's a great truth of the church, one we need to be contemplating about. And of course, Christmas, the Christmas story, is a great part of the redemption story. You cannot think about Christmas and the incarnation without your thoughts going towards Calvary, towards the resurrection, towards the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christmas gives you that opportunity. And indeed, these are great things. We need to take time to reflect around these themes and other themes, of course, during this season. Unfortunately, we celebrate Christmas without these thoughts populating our minds. Well, secondly, Christmas should be a time for thanksgiving and for prayer. It goes without saying, if you are reflecting on what I've been saying, you should naturally go into thanksgiving, into prayer. Now, I find it interesting that quite a number of us, we meditate, we thank God, we spend time praying when we are thinking about the new year. 2014, I fast, oh, the Lord was good to me, he did this and that, I thank God. 2015 is coming, I commit myself to God. Nothing wrong with that. But I think Christmas should indeed, perhaps even more, help us to be thankful to God and indeed to prayer. The church gatherings that celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ are important, and attending this is important. It is helpful. It's helpful to do this. And it is incumbent, the responsibility of the elders, the leaders of the church, as well as the leaders of whatever other events that are taking place, to ensure that there is the right content of all those events taking place, to ensure that this is not just about having fun, this is not just about having entertainment. There is a Christ-centeredness regarding each and every activity that takes place during Christmas. Well, number four is that we need to take advantage of the gospel opportunities that come with Christmas. The gospel opportunities that come with Christmas. Now, I really don't mind if you took a position that 25th December is Spartan, and therefore you search for another date and do all these things on another day. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. That can happen. The only thing is, the world has recognized 25th December, and they do all sorts of things, and they are great opportunities that we can take advantage of. I remember living In the United Kingdom, the small church that we attended, my wife and I, actually Sabia Jenny went to the same church, the one who recommended it to me. It was a small church. Few people would come. We tried, you know, knocked doors, evangelism. Very, very difficult. If you get one person coming, the church celebrates. there have been bizarre. But you know, during Christmas season, we'll go out and, you know, distribute tracts, invitations, whatever. And come Christmas Day, I mean, the church is packed with people and very few believers, but the church is packed. Now those are gospel opportunities for that part of the world. Even us, gospel opportunities, some people will not. They do not ordinarily go into church, but during Christmas they want to come to church. Invite them. Let them come to church. Offer them an opportunity to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true Christmas message. And pray that the Lord will open their eyes. They will hear the gospel and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, number five is that avoid the materialism that is associated with Christmas. Avoid the materialism that is associated with Christmas. And here, I think about this. Number one is that there is 2nd January 2015 coming. Life will continue after Christmas, and we have to finance our lives after 2015. So if you spend recklessly during this festive season, you are being very unwise, and it may appear like it's not necessary to say this, but I don't know what is happening these days. When I was a deacon some time back, it was clear that January, come January, the giving in the church actually just plummeted. It went down. Of course, people say there are uniforms to buy and things like that, but I've had this lingering suspicion that people overspend during the festive season and they postpone their tithe. Everything people want to borrow from the Lord. So they postpone their tithes to come and give later on. That is being unwise. That is being unreasonable. Spend what you can spend and be mindful of the fact that indeed life will not end with Christmas. But secondly, remember also that there are worthy causes that you could spend money on. Worthy causes that you could spend money on. If you have so much money to splash around, why don't you try to just have perhaps a good meal, celebrate, save some. The church needs money. There are all these appeals for things. Why don't you save some money and give to that cause? Or perhaps there is some charity that is going on, which is well supporting. Why don't you do this? We have actually been I don't want to mention names, but some brothers have been coordinating the help to try and help our former pastor build a house. This has been going on very well, and there is quite a lot of mail that is exchanged. And one of the encouragements that we received from Pastor Mbewa is, look you brothers, why don't you just spare some of your Christmas bonus so that, you know, this week can go. Of course, there were discussions as to whether Christmas bonus really exists anymore. But, you know, what was being said is that come Christmas, we have a tendency to spend and overspend. And yet there are all these worldly causes going on which need money, and if we only were a bit thoughtful about that, indeed we can spare some and donate to these worthy causes. Well, let me wind up very quickly. Organizing a Christmas centered, a Christ centered Christmas. How do we do it? Well, without saying much, of course, it is at an individual level. Take time to reflect as an individual. Take time as a family to reflect as a family. The challenge is really to act as heads of households, as heads of families, to organize our families so that the family may remember the Lord Jesus Christ on Christmas in the way that we have described. Explore the Christmas story together as a family. Teach children what this all means. They are hearing a lot about Christmas. Surely, the one place where a lot of all these things should be clarified for them is within the family. So organize the family and visit friends and relations with gospel motivation, with a gospel intent. Many times we just spend time with family. The whole day, you know, relatives have gathered the whole day from 9 o'clock to 8 p.m. Nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ has been said in that gathering whatsoever, except to say grace when the meal is about to be eaten. The challenge is, can those gatherings be exploited for gospel purposes? And when you celebrate, if you have a Christmas service, the church has a role here. Ensure that you will not over celebrate such that you cannot come to church and take advantage of what is happening there. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, next week we have a Christmas service, 10 o'clock, 10 hours. You celebrate Christmas night. You sleep at 4 a.m., 3 a.m. Well, two things are likely to happen. One, you'll be too tired that you will not wake up to make it to the Christmas service. Now, that's not having a Christ-centered Christmas celebration. Or you manage to wake up, especially if you are in a family. Daddy or mommy has said, no, you should go. So you manage to wake up, and then you sit there. You are dozing. There's a lot of dozing in the Christmas service, actually. A lot of dozing because of that. Now, you were not thinking about the service. You were not preparing yourself for the service. You were not, you know, really, ultimately, not thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ in your merry making. So, dear friends, let me end by saying, you can take a position, not to celebrate Christmas, just have the substance for that position. When you take the position to celebrate Christmas, the substance is that let it focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it enrich you, enrich your soul, your heart. Let it strengthen your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That you come 26th December 2014 and going forward, indeed you will know that you have this closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I will encourage you, I encourage myself, these are not things that I've been doing, but indeed these are things that are worthy to try and implement for the benefit of our souls. Amen.